greetings to our listeners. In today's story, we, Time of Hope Radio, invite you to follow along as we start with The Road of Hope by Archbishop Francis Xavier Witten-Lamplett, translated by Peter Bukowil and recorded by readers Danielle,
Bonnier,
Maikan, Wenmai,
Hilvu,
and Philong.
A note from the publisher.
The Road of Hope comprises 1,001 paragraphs, reflected and written during the night in prison. The number corresponds to the famous 1,001 nights of the Arabic fairy tale. There are 36 chapters in the book, divided in three sections, reflecting the cycle of three liturgical years, A, B, C. Each section offers 12 chapters to be read and meditated for the 12 months of the year.
The last part in the last chapter is named A Life of Hope, enumerating from 1 to 24 at the right margin. It summarizes the essence of the whole book. Each number represents one important thought for each hour of the day. The last number concludes with a moving appeal. You have one country. If one lives out 24 hours a day in the spirit of the Road of Hope, one will certainly become a holy and exemplary Christian.
Preface.
Archbishop Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan is a modern-day hero. You would not like me to call him that, but it is true. Heroes are the men and women of true conviction and faithful service whose witness shines out in the midst of trial and adversity to remind us all of what truly matters in this world. Faith in God and trust in God's providence expressed in a life that witnesses God's love to all of our brothers and sisters. That is why Archbishop Nguyen is a hero. Francis Xavier Nguyen Van Thuan was born in Hue, April 17, 1928, and ordained a priest in 1953. He won a doctorate in canon law in Rome, became rector of a seminary, and then vicar general in Hue, and in 1967, he was named Bishop of Nanchang.
He accepted the post of coadjutor, Archbishop of Saigon, on April 23, 1975, just before the capital was overrun by communist forces. He was jailed on August 15th and held in prison until 1988. The last 9 years in isolation. The book for which I am pleased to write this preface is composed of the message that Archbishop Thuan wrote every evening for his people when he was, at first, exiled from Saigon and kept under house arrest in Nha Trang. He wrote messages on the back of old calendars. Village children had the run of his house. Among them was a boy who carried the messages out for reproduction, who is now studying for the priesthood in Rome. This was accomplished in what the Archbishop modestly calls his 1,001 nights before he is placed in jail and isolation.
Many of the Boat people drew their courage and inspiration from these messages as they sought a new life in freedom. I'm sure they will be no less helpful to Christians around the world today. Friends of the Archbishop have prevailed on him to allow the publication of these messages to his harried people in the late 1970s. Nothing here is dated because the Archbishop values crises are ever productive of goodness and courage under persecution. On his release from isolation in 1988, Archbishop Nguyen resided in Rome and re-established his pastoral work for his people both in Vietnam and for those scattered in a world dysphoria. In 1995, he was named Vice President of the Pontifical Council of Justice and Peace, and continue to serve that body today, implementing the Holy Fathers' initiatives.
We thank Archbishop Thuan for being the strong person he is, he was, and is, and for his witness, and we thank him for allowing us to read his powerful and sustaining Christian messages to his people. Bernard Cardinal Law, Archbishop of Boston, Good Friday, April 14, 1995.
Introduction to the American Edition.
Dear friends in the United States, on Mission Sunday 1974, I was greatly honored by an invitation from His Eminence Terence Cardinal Cook to come and concelebrate Holy Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral. I had the pleasure of meeting your beloved and revered pastor several times. He even came to visit me in Nha Trang, my diocese in Vietnam. Much time has passed since that day in New York. Many events have marked our countries. Separations, scars, injuries, great physical and mental pain that the waters of the Pacific cannot wash away. No medication can cure our traumatized hearts.
20 years have passed. Some would like us to forget, but it is not possible. That would be cowardly and unfaithful. I wanted to visit you sooner, but I was not free to do so. I'm here today to meet you after 20 years. I come with great love in my heart for you, with the light of faith in my eyes, to look truth in the face with courage, for it is truth that will set us free. I have come to tell you that I understand what suffering means. I lived through the camps, prisons, isolation, and all 13 years, 3 months, 7 days, without trial, from August 15, 1975 to November 21, 1988. And after that, I was exiled. I come to share all your sorrows and anguish, the harm done to your body and mind. I experienced it myself and still carry the scars of those times which so profoundly marked my life.
I am wearing the cross I made from wood I cut in the prison camp in Vinh Phu. In another prison near Hanoi, the young wardens, who with time became my friends, helped me make the chain from electric wire. The cross reminds us that together we must love, together we must forgive, together we must sow the seeds of justice and peace, together build our countries. I would very much like to be able to visit your homes, to shake your hands, and to speak to each one of you, especially the people I confirmed in Nha Trang, in Gambaran Bay. I have come for those who suffer with love, the kiss of peace, the fragrance of spring, the smile of a friend, and the light of hope for the future. I have a small gift. I wrote it in prison. With it, I wish to enter the homes I cannot visit, the road of hope. Our path is a faith, hope, and love for the year 2000.
Young friends of America, splendid in your candor, you are the future of the Church of Jesus Christ. Open wide the doors of your hearts. Lift up your arms to our risen Savior. Cry out with all the force of your youth. May the echo resound to the very ends of the earth. In God we trust, we hope, we love. His Excellency Francis Xavier Nguyen Văn Thuận, Vice President of the Pontifical Council of Justice and Peace, Rome, 1995.
Translator's introduction.
It gives me great pleasure in introducing this English translation of Archbishop Francis Xavier Winbunton's book, The Road of Hope, which has been widely read by Vietnamese, many of them, like him, suffering long imprisonment as confessors for the faith. A firm exponent of the doctrine that all the baptized are sent as apostles to the nations in their times, the Archbishop offers them insight into his motto, Gaudium et Spes, the fruit of prayerful reflection on Scripture and the need of our world. It is with urgency that he teaches his people how to fulfill their baptismal commitment and progress through life as along a road of hope, followed in joy. This book is not a theological treatise, nor is it an order manual of spiritual direction. Rather, it is an urgent appeal from the heart of a father and great pastor to his sons and daughters to do the truth in love, to let their lives express the faith they profess simply and consistently.
The style at first seems somewhat foreign, but both in content and style, this book is in the great tradition of the wisdom literature of Old Testament and the monastic father. Well might the Archbishop have begun his work, as did Saint Benedict. Listen, son or daughter, incline the ear of your heart, willingly receive and faithfully fulfill the advice of a loving master. For the Archbishop speaks with the authority of a master rooted in tradition, but modern in some aspects of his theories of leadership. His appeal is to heart as well as to head, and his teaching flows from a heart of a man whose life speaks even more eloquently than his words. His advice is expressed at times in memorable aphorisms, touched occasionally with wry humor. Grounded in Scripture, the Archbishop's words are, as it were, struck from the Word himself, the object of his wholehearted love and commitment. Aglow as they are with the fire of the Spirit, they are designed to enkindle a life fire in the hearts of his people, especially in the lay apostles on whom he sets such store for the renewal of the church and the world.
Because the spirituality of this work is so evangelical, ecclesial, and humane, it deserves a wider readership than that for which it was originally designed. With a certain confidence, then, I offer the road of hope to English-speaking Christians. In following that road, may they know the joy that Christ wished his followers to share with him. I have met the challenge of this translation only with the help of many. So great is my debt to Mr. Dominic Winbunton that I mostly gratefully acknowledge him as co-translator. I am in debt also to brothers Gerard Nguyen Xuân Nhọt, Nyset Võ Lim, and Rupert Kelly. It's also to Sister Mary Gregory of the Monastery of the Holy Spirit, Croydon Vic, for her patient proofreading and invaluable criticism of the text in its several stages. Finally, I must thank you, my brother, Dr. Michael Bucklow, for unfailing support throughout the project and the use of his computer to establish the text. To Brother Leo Erke of the St. John of God Community, Burwood, and Mr. Derek Thomas for the kindness and patience in printing the book. Peter Bucklow, Australia, 24th November, 1988. Feast of the 117 Holy Vietnamese Martyrs.
I have traveled a long life's road, where I have experienced both joys and sorrows, but I have always been overflowing with hope because I have our Lord and His Mother Mary by my side. If our Lord were to permit me to choose again, I would not choose any other road but this, I have been happy and full of joy because I have hope in the Lord and I have learned to love. Today, as our Lord gives me a few moments to be close by His side, I shall begin to record for you, as I have wanted to do for a long time, the experience of my life. I approach the task with feelings of humility. These are the words of advice of a father who does not have anything new to say to his child. This father simply repeats some words of advice which truly come from the heart, words which so many times before have been gently poured into your ear and your heart in the midst of the noisy activities of the world around you. Be recollected as you contemplate these words which come from a father's heart. It is my earnest hope that these simple thoughts may spread light and peace so that you may become an apostle animated with a spirit of prayer and a spirit of love. May the grace and peace of our Lord with you on this journey of hope.
Chapter 1, Departure. If you are still bound with a gold chain, you are not ready for this road.
1. Our Lord guides you onto this road so that you will go out and bear fruit, fruit which will endure. John chapter 15, verse 16. This road is called the road of hope because it is overflowing with hope, because it is as beautiful as hope. Why should you not have hope when you set off with our Lord Jesus Christ on the way to the Father?
2. The ground plan of this road of hope has 3 stages. 1. Departure. Renounce self. 2. Duty. Take up your cross daily. 3. Perseverance. Follow me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23.
3. If you gave up everything but still have not denied yourself, actually you have not given up anything at all, because you will gradually gather again to yourself all those things which you gave up in the first place.
4. Abraham set off on his journey because he hoped to reach the promised land. Moses likewise set out because he hoped to rescue God's people from slavery. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven with the hope of saving all mankind.
5. If you leave home and go to a distant place thousands of miles away, but continue to bring along with you all the bad habits and the old man of sin, what difference does it make? 6. The saints are fools for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. The making of saints is far beyond the scope of the wisdom of the world.
7. If you wish to set off on this road, you must go regardless of what other people in the world say to ridicule you. The 3 wise men set off hoping to meet the Savior, and they met him. Saint Francis Xavier set off hoping to save souls, and he met them. Saint Maria Goretti set off to resist temptation, hoping to meet our Lord, and she met him.
8. You must lose in order to gain. Die in order to live. Abandon all else in order to meet the Lord. The Magi risked dangers and ridicule. St. Francis Xavier left his parents and gave up all his possessions and the pleasures of the world. St. Maria Goretti gave up her life.
9. Keep advancing along the road of hope regardless of the heart-rending pleas of those you love. As St. Paul tells us, bondage and affliction await me. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 20, verse 23. And as Jesus said, now I must go up to Jerusalem to suffer. Matthew, chapter 20, verse 18.
10. It does not matter at all whether you are rich or poor, whether people praise you or ridicule you, whether you are of noble or humble status, if you are determined to advance along this road, waiting in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. 11. Our Lord says, I am the truth,
John chapter 14, verse 6. He does not say newspapers are the truth, radio is the truth, or television is the truth. Which kind of truth will you follow?
12. Keep moving forward relentlessly. Do not give up. Nobody will follow the person who turns back.
13. Do not give in to sensuality. Do not give in to laziness. Do not give in to selfishness. You cannot call black, white, bad, good, or dishonest, honest.
14. Are you a person who says yes to everything? Which road will you take? Do you say yes to many gods? Do you say yes to many religions? Do you say yes to many varieties of moral standards? Do you have a flexible conscience which can fit in with any situation and say yes to its values?
15. Refusal to give in to false values is not pride, or egoism, or stubbornness. Rather, it proves your wholehearted adherence to real standards and values.
16. You are prepared to reject wealth and position, to give up your own life in order to serve your ideal, your honor, and your faith. So you will never behave otherwise, for to do so means the loss of everything.
Chapter 2, Duty. Duty is the passport to heaven.
17. Duty points out the will of God for you during the present moment.
18. There are some people who, while not carrying their own cross or anyone else's, still imagine their own cross is too heavy. Some are eager to take upon their own shoulder everyone else's cross, but refuse to carry their own.
19. Make your duties holy. Help others to holiness by your duties. Grow in holiness by the way you carry out your duty.
20. If all were faithful to their duty in life, growth in personal holiness would renew their hearts and bring a like renewal to families and the whole world.
21. Despite a superficial appearance of holiness, a person who neglects his duties in life is a counterfeit. Should he work miracles, they would be out of time and out of place and a cause of confusion. Moreover, such a person would be a burden for others to live with.
22. Some lay people mistakenly think holiness consists in fervent prayer, preaching, or withdrawal from the world. They draw this inspiration from the image of priests and religious in a former time. On the other hand, there are priests and religious who conceive holiness in terms of social and political activity. They would compete with lay people. This hints of confusion of roles.
23. The world is not renewed because people often conceive of holiness as being something outside the fulfillment of the duties of their state in life.
24. The workman will become a saint in the workplace. The soldier will become a saint in the army. The patient will become a saint in the hospital. The student will become a saint through his studies. The farmer will become a saint on the farm. The priest will become a saint by his ministry as priest. The public servant will become a saint in the government's office. Every step of progress along the road to sanctity is a step of sacrifice in the performance of one's duty.
25. It is not because of acts of prophecy, nor the performance of miracles, that saints become saints. They do not do anything extraordinary, but simply carry out their own ordinary duties.
26. However, the duty of the present moment is not a passive thing. It is an unceasing renewal of yourself. It is a decision to choose or reject our Lord. It is a search for the kingdom of God. It is a belief in the infinite love of God. It is acting with all the ardor of your heart. It is reflecting that love of God by means of your love for others. right at this present moment.
27. Duty is your passport to heaven. The person who does the will of my Father in heaven, he will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21.
28. Accept the will of God. Obey the will of God. Love the will of God. Which way will you choose?
29. If our Lord wishes you to endure some disgrace because of your duty, he's actually giving you at that time something of the honor of his holy cross.
30. Let your response be, O Lord, the place of my duty is Calvary, and I am the Holocaust.
31. It is only necessary for you to fulfill your duty at the present moment in order to become a saint. The discovery and revelation of this fact will bring peace and encouragement to your soul.
32. Your death, in fact, will be your last duty, and you must accept it willingly and in a manner filled with love.
33. As you advance in your everyday duties, you will come to appreciate. Our Lord's yoke is easy and his burden is light. Matthew chapter 11, verse 30.
34. Your soul is worried and discontented because you set a few conditions to the performance of your duty, or because you do not follow the will of God, or because you put limitations on the way you choose to follow the will of God.
35. If you are not attached to the will of God, moment by moment, you will fall by the wayside on the road of hope. This is because you think of your duty as being too uneventful, too unnoticed and hidden, and having too much daily monotony.
36. The problem is a very simple one. Before doing anything, you should think, Lord, what must I do? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 10. Carry out the will of God.
37. God desires it to rain. You desire the same. God desires it to be sunny. You desire the same. God desires things to be pleasant. You desire the same. God desires hardships for you. You desire the same. God desires suffering for you. You desire the same. To have but one will with God is the secret of happiness.
38. In our everyday lives, our Lord bestows on us the happiness of participating in the mystery of the redemption. For each person, the road of the cross lies on the road of duty.
Dear fellow listeners, we will stop here in the road of hope. For more information, we'd like you to follow us via www.matmaria.org or www.matmaria.net. You can also email us at matmaria2000@yahoo.com or via phone with Ms. Kinha at 714-265-1512. We look forward to the next time we'll meet again.
be like the bread we share. Fill our hearts with your compassion for a world in need of care. You are the way, you are the light, you are the truth, the source of our salvation. We find new life in you. One bread, one cup, one body of Christ, united in love. One bread, one cup, one living sacrifice, poured out in your love. Holy Spirit, renew us, that in each other we may see. Gathered as one family in love, one bread, one cup. When we go forth from this place of perfect peace, may your light shine in our life for all the world to see. One bread, one cup, one body of Christ, united in love. One bread, one cup, one living sacrifice, poured out in your love. Holy Spirit, renew us, that in each other we may see you. Gathered as one family in love, one bread, one cup. Gathered as one family in love, one bread, one cup.